Now, let me ask you another couple questions, okay, if I may. How do you let your light shine? I mean, what ways can you do that? What do you do? You're not going to go outside your house or to your school, and you're going to walk into the school and you're going to be shining. I mean, I know that. You know that, too. At least I don't think you're going to be. But how do you let your light shine? How are you a blessing to somebody else? Today, tomorrow, what can you do? What can your kid do? What can a staff member do? What can an old guy like me do? What can we do to be a blessing to somebody today? Anybody tell me? Anybody?
Sure.
Oh, okay, I heard show love. That's a good answer. But I want a real specific answer. How can you show love? What?
Give somebody a Jolly Rancher.
Give somebody a Jolly Rancher. Well, you know, that might work. Because we had a testimony here last night where somebody's giving you a Jolly Rancher, I think, right now. Somebody testified here last night, and it wasn't a Jolly Rancher that they got, but it was a new nightgown that they got, and it was the beginning of their salvation experience with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's a way to be a blessing. And I don't know if you were serious about it or not, but that can be a very serious way to give of ourselves and our means and the things we have. Yes, sir?
Spreading the Word of God.
Spreading the Word of God. How do you do that? That means you use your mouth, your lips, your voice?
Your actions.
All right, very good. There was another hand I saw someplace. Where was it? How else can you be a blessing to somebody? Yes. Oh, that's that Gilmar?
Yep.
Kind of figured it would be you, Gilmar. Good, come on. Okay, if you live the fruit of the Spirit, that's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and gentleness and goodness, yeah, and you live that way, and that's a blessing to other people. Anybody? Yes, Jake.
Reflect the light of God to
others. Okay, reflect the light of God. Again, you're all right. The love of God, the light of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. But really practical ways. What can you do? What can you do to show that? Another hand in the back. I don't know who you are, but yes. Oh, I know who you are. Yeah, go ahead. What? Okay, give as 'twas given to you. That's right. Very good. Okay, one more. All the way in the back. We got all the way in the backs over here. You and them and you. Yes, loud. Okay, very good. Yes, do the right thing to show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There are a lot of these things we can do, practical things we can do. Well, what do you do if you're in the lake and the guy next to you is going, and his head's going down a few times? What can you do to help him? What can you do to be a blessing to him?
Laugh,
right, there you go. Laugh. Say goodbye, I hope you make it to the pearly gates. No, that's not the way to do it. What do you do? What do you do? You save him. People that are drowning, you save them. You call the lifeguard. You do something like that, you got to get in there to save them. So you give them a hand. If they're weak, maybe you help them out of the water. You want to be their strength. You want to show them in very practical ways. You want to be a blessing. And there's a Bible verse, believe it or not, that I think goes along with some of this. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, someplace near the end of 1 Corinthians 6. Let's see what it says. Yeah, there it is, way at the end there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Anybody in Natick have it? Good. Could you read it for us nice and loud? The 19th verse. Okay, and somebody from Nonantum, read the, if you would, read the 20th verse, the last verse. Go ahead, yes. Yeah, please.
For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body.
Okay, now, that's an important verse. Don't you know, that's a good question, don't you know, you all know this, don't you? Do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Now, when Jesus bought you, what is it that he bought? Did he buy your soul? Did he save your soul? Yes. Did he purchase your body?
No.
Let's read that verse again. Let me see what it says there. Maybe I missed it here.
Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. See, we know that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, so our souls are saved, and so our souls belong to Him, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. But how about my body? Does my body belong to me or to Him? Did He buy it? That's what it says in the Bible. My body. Now, my body means my hands, my ears, my eyes, my brain, my feet. What I do with my body. Jesus wants to live in my body. Did you ever think of that? Or did you send your soul up to heaven someday? And you know, it's all in a theory. It's a not a very tangible thing, if you know what that means. You can't really get your hands on this. It's something spiritual only. No, it's not. It's very practical. Jesus wants to live in your body. You know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that He dwells in you? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify, honor God in your body and in your soul, which belong to Him. And so whatever I do in my body, well, that's a reflection on the one who owns me. I'm not my own. So I don't do with my hands what I like to do. You know what I like to do with my hands sometimes? Maybe things that aren't good. Maybe you'd like to get them around the neck of someone, but Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. So you're not going to squeeze it quite as hard as you were thinking before you were singing, make me a blessing. These hands, Lord, they belong to you. Now, how can I use my hands? How can I use my hands to be a blessing to somebody else? Well, if I'm a waitress, how could I use my hands to be a blessing? Throw the food at the campers. Here you go, eat. No. You can bring the food to the table and you can distribute the food. Is that a blessing?
Yes.
It's a tremendous blessing. If we didn't have the waitresses up here at camp, what would we do? If we didn't have the cook, what would we do? We'd be in big trouble. But they're a blessing to us because they... Now, think about the storekeeper. You go down to that store and you want an ice cream or you want whatever you want. And there's somebody in there and she's a blessing, isn't she? She's a blessing because she stands there all day long in the hot boathouse and she's just waiting for you to show up and she's waiting to serve you and to be a blessing to you. And she uses her body. She dishes out that ice cream. She does it cheerfully and joyfully because that's what we do with our bodies. Whatever the Lord wants us to do, we do it cheerfully and joyfully. That's what the Bible says, as unto the Lord. We're just using our body and our hands and our feet and our mouth and our tongue, not just to preach, but to help people that maybe are a little bit despondent and down, to encourage and exhort. So many ways there are for us to be a blessing, and Jesus wants to get a hold of your body, and He wants to live in it, and He wants to live out His life in your body. Now, that maybe is quite synonymous, but maybe not quite, with being saved in my soul. Now He wants every part of me. We sing a song, the big people sing a song, but you're big enough to sing it too. It goes like this: is your all on the altar of sacrifice? Is every part of you on the altar? Every part of us has to be. That's what He wants. There's a story, maybe we can just read it, from Exodus. Let me see what chapter it is. Exodus chapter 21. Jesus buys us. We're not our own. We're purchased. You know, the Bible has a strange name for it. It's called a bond servant or a love slave. We're really His purchased possession. We belong to Him. Again, we're not our own. And here there's a story in Exodus chapter 21, and it talks about slaves. They had slaves way, way back. The Hebrews were slaves. And slavery is not generally a good thing at all. When we had slavery in America, it was a terrible, despicable thing. And thank God that there finally came an end to it when Abraham Lincoln was the president of the United States. What number president was he?
16.
Yeah, that's right, 16. 16th president of the United States. And he was not solely responsible for freeing the slaves. I guess There were a lot of others. Wilberforce and others joined in and helped, and it was a cooperative event. But it was a good thing to free those slaves. Lincoln, one time, he was passing by where a woman was being sold into slavery, a young woman, a pretty beautiful young woman, and he knew that if she were sold to these people that were wanting to buy her, that they would just take advantage of her and misuse her. And so Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, he got right there on the block and he was bidding for her. And the price got pretty high, but he kept bidding and higher and higher. And finally, you got her. She's yours. You can take her. And Abe Lincoln purchased her, and he looked at that woman and he said, "Now you can go. You can go wherever you want to go." She said, "I what?" He said, "You can go wherever you want to go. You can do whatever you want to do." She turned around and looked at him. She said, "Mr. Lincoln, I choose to go with you." Well, that was, I don't know if what the answer that he was looking for. But that's what I'm reminded of when I read this story in Exodus 21. It says in Exodus, and I'm not going to read it all the verses, but it's right at the beginning of the chapter. It talks about Hebrew servants, slaves. And if you purchase some slaves into your house, you keep them working for you. And by the way, let me say this. This was a good thing. This saved a lot of people's lives. People who wouldn't have had any ability to subsist. No way to get food, no way to earn money, no way to help themselves with shelter or anything. It was actually a good thing for them, many of them, to be part at least of a home where they had a roof. They had to work for their keep, kind of like Pilgrim Camp. Yeah, you're thankful for the lean-tos and the roof and so on, but you got to work for your keep. And it was that way here, but it wasn't for 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks. You know how long they had to work? 6 years. They were purchased and bought, and they came into the master's house, and the master employed them and told them to do this and to do that. And sometimes while they were in the employ of the master, they got married. They had a family. Sometimes when they were bought, they came in with their family and their wife. And so there were rules given. You serve for 6 years, but after 6 years, every one of those slaves has an opportunity to go free. They can go out just as they came. They don't have to pay their way out. They don't have to pay off their time serving you. That's their prerogative, their choice. They serve for 6 years, and that seventh year, if they came in without a wife, they can go out without a wife. If they've married them, then they can go out with their wife. And all stipulations given at the beginning of that chapter. And so after 6 years went by, there came the time. Now's the opportunity. Now what do you want to do? Do you want to go free? Or do you want to stay a slave? But here's the hitch. You don't just re-up for another 6 years or 6 months or any little period of time. If you want to remain a slave to your master, you're going to have to sign a life sentence. You're going to have to serve him forever. You're never, ever going to be free again. Now, that's your choice. So 6 years rolled around, and in the seventh year, look what it says. Let me read it to you from verse 5. If the servant declares, "I love my master and my wife and my children, and do not want to go free," then his master must take him before the judges. Now, let's stop right there. So the person, the individual that was a slave for 6 years, that now has a choice to go free, you notice it said, I guess that first phrase, if the servant declares, whose choice was it whether he would go free or not? The slave's choice. It wasn't the master's choice. Now the slave is in the driver's seat. He has the chance to say, I don't really want to stay here. I want to go somewhere else. I want to be a free man. I don't like it where I am. And so let me out. And he could go. Nobody would ask him any questions. But if he declares, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to belong to him, our bodies. He wants us to be slaves of him, bought by him. He purchased us at a great cost. You didn't come cheap. Maybe other people think you're worthless. Maybe you've been told that, some of you, I don't know. But maybe you've been told you're good for nothing. Be quiet, you're just a kid. I don't want to hear from you. You're only a woman. You've got no rights. You don't know. Don't. Maybe that's the way some people are treated. Maybe some of you are treated that way. I don't know where you're from. I don't know where you've come from. Shine, shine, shine. I don't know where that was. in half of your cases, but maybe that's what you hear from people. You hear that's what they're telling you. But Jesus wants you to know that he wants to purchase you. He loves you so much that he wants to buy you as his slave, and he paid for you with his own precious blood. That's not cheap. God so loved the world. Help me. You know it, don't you? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus came to this earth, to this world, to die on the cross. That's a terrible death, terrible death. You've probably heard about it. You probably heard about what it means and the pain that he suffered. Worse than that, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, including yours. You're worth something to Jesus. He loves you, and he wants you to be his forever. But it's your choice, and he's not going to make it for you. He's not going to grab you by the arm and say, you're not going anywhere, you can't go anywhere, I'm not letting you go anywhere, you're mine and you've got nothing to say about it, and so just quiet and just behave yourself and you're here, that's it. That's not Jesus. He really gives everybody a choice. He knocks at the door of our hearts. And he wants us to open the door, he wants us to have him come in, and he wants us to say to him, I love my master's house. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to leave my Savior. He paid for me. He bought me. Now I belong to him. And I don't want to belong to him just for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And so if the servant says that, it says, I love my master. Who's your master?
Jesus.
Did he buy you? So he's your master. That's why we call him Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means master. Now, when he's your Lord, that means you do what he says, right? Because he's the Lord. And I love my master. You know, when you're a slave, it doesn't matter where you are. When you're an employee, sometimes you're kind of like a slave. You do what your boss tells you to do. You don't really have much of a choice. He wants you to do it this way, you do it that way. If you belong to Jesus, you do what he wants you to do. You don't really have a choice. He's a good master. He's not a hard, austere taskmaster. He's a good taskmaster. Brother Timmy played on the organ before the meeting. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I found it so. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, his yoke is easy, but they used to link these two oxen, let's say, together with a yoke. They had to make them specially for these so that they were compatible with one another. And you and I were yoked to the master, and we're joined to Christ. And that word easy means it's compatible. It's nice to be yoked to him. It's okay. It doesn't chafe. It doesn't hurt when I got that yoke on, because he's a good master. He takes good care of me. And so if the servant says, I love my master.
Yes.
Oh, you know, I really think it's joy to the heart of Jesus when he hears you and anybody sing. Oh, maybe we should just sing it now. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to this. You think when he hears you say right from your heart, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love my master. And I lift my voice to you and I just thank you, Lord. I just love you, Jesus. I wonder what that does to the heart of Jesus, because you don't have to say, I love you, Lord. You don't have to say, Lord, when you talk to Jesus. A lot of people use his name, but I don't think they use it very well or wisely. They're not singing it in worship and adoration, and I don't know if he takes great joy in what he hears from some people, but when it comes from a heart that's filled with love and overflows with that love, and he hears you sing, "I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice." I think it does something for the heart of Jesus. Am I right, Sister Hofländer? It does something for his heart. It cheers his heart. It gives him joy. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he'll be satisfied. Now, how does that happen when he hears you and he hears me saying, "I'm not leaving. No, no way. I'm not leaving my master's house. I'm not going to leave. I love my master, and I want to serve him." And then it goes on here. We read, "I do not want to go from here. Then the master takes him before the judges." Other people got to be involved in this. This isn't just a private little decision that you make in the corner somewhere. But other people, you know, some people think that this is something to do with, maybe this is like water baptism, a public confession of my faith. Who could finish the verse if I started? I don't know if I have any prizes in my pocket, unless you want a tissue. Who could finish the rest of this verse?
Mean what it says here,
right? No. This is the one. If we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, what? Confess to who? Okay, and to who else? If we confess him before, okay, who said men? Somebody back there, you did? Oh, Frank did. Frank, put your hand down. We could have figured that one out. If you confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. Did you ever confess Jesus before other people? They may not have been judges, but did you ever tell anybody? You did that. You boys, I'm sure you did. You boys that got saved here up at camp. It's a good thing to get up and to say, "I thank Jesus for saving my soul." It's a good thing to get up and say, "I love my master. I love Jesus. I'm so thankful that he took my sins away and that now I can belong to him every single day of my life. I'm so thankful for that." That's good for you to do. It's good for you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people, you know, it's way down deep here and nobody knows and nobody is. That's like this, hiding it under a bushel. "No," we sang. "No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine wherever I am. And I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Some of you told me you're a blessing because we can talk about Jesus. We can tell other people about Jesus. We're not ashamed of that. Paul the Apostle said, "I'm not either. I'm not ashamed because I know what I'm talking about. That gospel is the power of God unto salvation." And so it says here, you go before the judges and you let other people know and you tell them, and he then shall take him. The judges are going to take him to the door, the doorpost, and they're going to pierce his ear with an awl. Now, I am so thankful that we don't do this today. But the symbolism is still the same today. Now, could you imagine that? I love my master. I don't want to leave my master's house. Okay, who'll be first? Brother Tom, you have an awl? What's an awl, Brother Tom?
It means everything. Sharp pointed tool that makes a hole.
Did you hear that back there? An awl is a sharp pointed tool that makes a hole. It's kind of like a nail almost, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like a nail. How would you like it if I took a big nail and you want to serve your master forever? You don't want to leave his house? You want to be his forever? Well, we're going to go to the doorpost of his house and we're going to put your ear, probably this part of it down here, where some of you ladies maybe have had this done, but in a very small way. We're going to put your ear to that doorpost and then we're going to take an awl, we're going to nail you to his door. Now, what is that all about? What are you nailing this guy? He's really going to be in your house forever that way, wouldn't he be? No, we're going to let him go after a while, but symbolically, that means he's yours. We nailed him to your door. He belongs to this house forever. He's no longer roaming around or going here or there. That's it. He's belonging here. He's there forever. Never, ever to leave that house again.
That's right.
Oh, and I wonder if any of us ever get antsy or itchy and we feel like, "Oh, I wish I could leave. The grass looks pretty green on the other side. If I could only get out of the master's house. If I could only get out of the master's house just for a weekend or two. Just for a little while. If I could just go have fun. If I could just... No, it looks greener on the other side because the enemy paints a terribly nasty looking picture, but he makes it look good. And he lures and he entices and he calls and don't you want to stay? It's boring in the master's house. You know, I was nailed to the master's door a long time ago and I've never found a boring day in my life since. It's not a boring life. Now, I'm not as old as Sister Hofflander, so I always defer to her. She's 92, she told us the other day. Is it boring?
No, never been bored.
There's always something going on. It's always different. It's always joy unspeakable, Brother Peter told us this morning, and full of glory. That's what it is to belong to Jesus. And some of you just started that this week. Some of you have been just doing this for a year or two or three. But I've never been sorry I got nailed to the door. I've never been sorry that I heeded God's call. I've never been sorry that I belonged to the Master. Oh, I don't miss the pleasures of this life, not one bit. I don't have a desire for them. I couldn't care less about them because when he nails you to the door, you're crucified to the things of this world. They lose their charm. They don't entice or allure anymore. Now I belong to Jesus. Why would I ever want to leave the Master's house? I love my Master. He's so great to work for. His yoke is really easy and his burden is light. And I just want to stay here and serve him forever.
Amen.
There's a chorus that maybe nobody here knows, but I heard a choir. Brother Peter was talking about a group that works with drug addicts. We had a group of ex-drug addicts come to our church a few years ago. Now it's a lot of years ago now, I guess, as I think back. And I guess it was Brother Bobby Costanza, who some of you know, or maybe it was Brother Tom Kineth, who some of you know also. He worked with Teen Challenge Choir for a few years, and it was either he or Brother Bob, but they brought this group of drug addicts, former drug addicts, and they traveled around and they were singing in our church, and they sang one song, a little chorus, and I never forgot it. I never forgot it because I had spoken to one of the members of that group, and he was telling me how not too long from when he was with us and visiting, he was going to be going to jail. He was released to Teen Challenge in their program in lieu of being held in jail. But he was going to be charged on some very, very serious charges, attempted murder of a police officer. And he was guilty, and he was completing guilty. He did it. He tried to kill the officer. It didn't quite kill him. He almost killed him, and he was going to be going away, probably for life. He wasn't sure. But they sang this song, and I never forget, his name was Jojo. I don't know what his last name was. Maybe his last name was Joe. His first name was Joe. But Jojo, I can still see him, big, heavy guy. And I can hear him singing, "Pierce my ear, O Lord my God. Lead me to your door today. I will serve no other gods. Lord, I'm here to stay. For you have paid the price for me. With your blood you ransomed me. I will serve you eternally." And then this line at the end, "A free man I'll never be." And as I heard him sing that, and I knew what he was singing, I knew where he was about to go, a free man I'll never be. But yet in a certain sense, a free man I'll always be.
Yes.
Oh, I may be incarcerated in jail someplace, but I'm free. I'm free because I belong to the Master. The Master has freed me, and I just out of my love for Jesus, now I delight to serve and to be under his employ. And so if I have to be a blessing to someone in jail, some of you are old enough to remember David Berkowitz, son of Sam. And you know his story, maybe you've heard his testimony, and you've heard how he's given his heart to the Lord and given his life to Jesus. He himself could say, I will never be a free man. If they let me go and open up the jail doors, I would not go out and be a free man. I don't deserve to ever go out on the street. It would be a slap in the face to the parents and family members of those women that I killed. And I'll never want to, and I never will go out free. But he's freer in jail than many people walking around these streets are because his ear has been pierced, he has been nailed to the door, and he belongs to Jesus. And he's done it because he loves Jesus with all his heart. Now how about you, me, all of us? Who does your body belong to?
Jesus.
Oh, it belongs to Jesus. I've given my heart to him. I've given my life to him. But Lord, do you have my body? Every part of me belongs to you. I don't ever want to go free. I want to belong to you forever. I love you, Jesus. You know, it's maybe hard for... Are there hopefuls here? It might be hard for the littlest of you guys. Maybe I don't know what it really is to love Jesus so much, and I'm just learning about that, and maybe some of you older are learning more and more, but the more that I love him, more love he bestows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I follow Jesus and live for him, the more I want to follow Jesus and live for him. And I never, ever want to be a free man again. I want to serve him eternally.